age 45, leaning on lasting arms.
Yes.
Kia G
and
only believe. Kia G.
Amen.
Hey, Caleb, after you sing one or two, give it to Dwayne, and he's got something to do, and then we're going to turn over for the COVID.
All right.
And he'll take it from there.
Yeah. He got it.
Amen.
Everlasting on, what a
Well, Brother Dwayne's coming. I know we're supposed to be behaving ourselves when we got company, but
that's all right.
This is so real and
Amen.
Gets more real every single week. Bible study is amazing to me.
Right.
It lets us know how much we really know.
Right.
I'm thankful for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It's good to be here. We want to recognize one of our awesome young people tonight.
Amen.
Micah Clay. So Micah is going to high school in 2 weeks. And we usually do this on Sunday, but he's got a trip this weekend, so we wanted to do this before he started high school. And I'm proud of our young people.
Yes.
And he's been back with us, Sister Michelle and I, for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And right, I was talking to his dad today. I was like, what year did y'all come here? And he said, 2012. I was like, then we had Micah the whole time. So we have a couple pictures that are playing, and I'm really proud of you. And just a couple of things. You know, Micah has the sweetest spirit. He has been nothing but easy in the back.
Beautiful.
He's been great to his little brother. He's been great to all of our young people. And I was thinking of what I wanted to say to him, and I'll let Sister Michelle as well. When we had that church age play last year, he was the eagle. And just remember that eagle, because you have the word, and you can fly higher,
Amen.
You can see farther,
Amen.
And just keep that word, and you'll be fine. And I'm proud of you,
Amen.
And I'm going to let Sister Michelle say something, and then we have a little gift on behalf of Brother Moore in the church.
Amen.
Well, that's my little buddy, though. He's my buddy. You know, he's been to several of my houses and, you know, spent days with me. So, you know, just not just here, but they both been my buddies. And I'm just so proud of him. I mean, his tender heart, his caring soul. I mean, he loves his brother and he loves his dad. He loves his body. You know, he really does. And I'm just so proud, because that's all we can ask for. Another thing I just want to ask is, and Pastor Moore, just let me know if I'm out. But I just want to know if we could pray for all our young people. Because, you know, they're going out in this world in places that we never had to go. They're fighting battles that we never had to fight. You know, when I was in school, it was just bubble gum, you know, getting swatted. Now, you know, they're fighting for their life. You know, they go into kindergarten preparing them for battle. You know, and we're here in the United States, and these kids are really fighting for their lives. Bullying, you know, over the internet, people that you don't even know will call you names and try to get you down. So, you know, I just ask if the body can remember these young people, because the very first thing they always ask us is pray for school. You know, we're out here in the world working, and we don't want to be there. But can you imagine being this age, you know, and all of the things that are confronted with them, even if they don't want it, is still confronted to them. So I'm just asking the body to uplift these young people and let them know that they do have a body to fall back on. You know, when the world is out there beating them up, they have a place. And we always want them to know they can come home no matter what has happened in their life. So I just want to thank everybody and thank my little buddy here. He's been a true trooper. And I just thank you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to let Brother Micah say something after we've given this. But on behalf of Brother Moore and the church, this is for Sunday night especially, well, study. A little something from Sunday school. We're going to miss you.
Man, this is sorry, I'm nervous. It's been such a journey. You know, God has brought me through all my trials and tribulations without being unscathed. Like, it's God's here, and you know, I can't say it any better. I love it here, and I'm looking forward to tonight's word. God bless y'all.
Amen.
That was my baby boy right there. So I'm over there turning into sludge there. Oh man, me and that kid. I just wanted to, I'll be short, I swear, Reader's Digest version, but that boy, I couldn't be who I am today without that kid. That kid is my right-hand man. He does more than I've ever seen a kid his age do. He's so very responsible. I've got so much I could go on and on, but it's because of this word that's doing it. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I still feel like a kid myself, you know? And we go through the day and days and stuff, but when it comes to this thing is for real. Amen. Don't play around with this thing. I had a wise man tell me, you're playing around too much. You know, maybe that might be my makeup, but you know, my soul and my desire wants to be here. It craves this. And you know, tonight he's like, Dad, you know, it's this is 7 o'clock. I was laying down, you know, watching TV. Ain't been too many times since I get to do that, you know. But this place is important and I've tried to put that in them. So God bless you all.
Well, after Micah got up, you know, I was on the way to Indiana to see my family, and I just started singing, and this song came to me, and I didn't know if I should sing it or not, but I will, because this is dedicated to Micah now. It's in G, I think.
Beautiful.
It's real simple, just a chorus.
Use me, Lord. Yes, use me, Lord. I want to be used by you. I want to be useful to you. Oh, use me, Lord. Have thine own way in everything I do, in everything I say.
Daisy's going to sing it with me.
Oh, use me, Lord. Yes, use me, Lord. Want to be used by you. I want to be useful to you. Oh, use me, Lord. Have thine own way in everything I do. Everything I say.
Amen. I love our young people.
Come on up, Brother Kobe.
This is my favorite mic. You know, we've only been having church now for 15 minutes, and there's been a lot said and a lot saying, and you know, God can shorten our time or lengthen it or stop it or whatever he likes. And I was hearing when we came in, meeting in the air, and I tell you, we've been in some spectacular meetings, and we've seen the dead raised, we've seen cancer healed, we've seen the word just totally become alive in our lives. Dead letters on a page, and these preachers start preaching them, we start living them. Amen. And that becomes the living word. You're the living word of Jesus Christ here today. And like they say, you've heard 1,000 times, but you might be the only Bible that people read whenever you're out there in the world. It's a dead world out there, and you know, they think they're so free, but they've got a master out there telling them exactly what to do, you know? But we're really free. You know, it's kind of like, it's like we're we're free, and whom God set free is free indeed, but yet we're still a slave to the master. Amen. You know, that's but right. What a master, that master gives us our freedom. Right. So, but anyway, God is so good. We got Brother Nick Wright with us here tonight to come up. You know, yes. Whew. Man. You know, we've had some really good preachers up here, and one thing I noticed here, the last few preachers that's come, they brought somebody with them, you know, another preacher with them, and it hit me the other day, I thought, and the brother Ronnie that's going to be preaching tonight, he texted me, said, well, it's going to be me plus one, and I thought, okay, it's probably going to be another preacher, but you know, they say that, you know, if one can chase off 1,000 devils, two can chase off 10. And these preachers know how that devil fights them before they get up here into this pulpit. Oh, yeah. And it wouldn't be good to have a brother with you, you know, that can just stand in the gap for you. Amen. So anyway, but we're just going to ask Brother Nick to just open us up in prayer, if we will.
Amen, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
God bless everyone. Let's just bow our heads and go before the Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and just hear your word come forth. And Lord, we're open today to anything that's said that's of you, Lord. And we just ask that you anoint the listeners with the mind of Christ, and you anoint the speaker with the mind of Christ, that it's just your word going forth and just your word being received, Lord. And today we just ask that any spirit in this building that is not of you, just come under subjection to the word and be cast out, that your word may change lives tonight. And Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for that, brother. Yeah, you know, speaking of that meeting in the air, I was going to say we've been to all these great meetings, but there's coming a meeting. And it's going to be so great, it's going to lift us up off this earth. Amen. And we're just going to be a meeting in the air, in a sweet by and by. It ain't going to be nothing bitter about it. It's going to be sweet.
Amen.
I thought we might sing just a couple songs and just say a couple little short things and get Brother Ronnie up here pretty shortly. And a key of F, page 218, just the chorus. Isn't God great? How great is our God? How great is his word? Man. How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest trust anybody else to put my trust in. Yeah, well, it's good to see my dad and mom here tonight. My brother Mike and my nephew Dallas, and my little princess turned into a grown woman now. Yeah, and my daughter's here tonight. And you know, those that are hungering, they come. They come. Every person, we've heard many times, are supposed to be here tonight. They're here. But how many of us, just a show of hands, that says, that you start hearing preaching, man, I wish so-and-so was here. Man, I wish this person was here. I wish that person was here. And that's just how we are. But then it comes right back to, man, I'm glad I'm here. Amen. I'm glad that he called me to hear this word.
That's right.
I'm glad he set me free from the bondage of this world.
Yes, yes, yes.
But let's go to page 160. 160. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Boy, just this first line, time is filled with swift transition. My. I think it says F there, I believe. Oh, time is filled with swift transition. This is what we've been longing for. When your journey is completed, oh, think about that. And if to God you have been true, oh, now fair and bright your home in glory. Here it is. Your enraptured soul will view. Oh, won't that be a day?
you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's start building. Build your hopes on things eternal. Time now. Oh, let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
The Lord. Sometimes there's hundreds of songs in this book, but if you just take one of them and just hold to God's unchanging hand, or just hold to something, and he's got many facets that you can hold on to, and all them facets lead right back to the one true God. Y'all may sit if you like, just for a second. You guys seem happier when you're sitting. If yeah, these preachers, they forget to tell you to sit down, and then you feel the Spirit of the Lord, and you just stand right back up. You do. I'm going to do something just a hair different tonight. I'm just going to take about 5 minutes, and I've got a song for you, and nobody in here knows it. I wrote this song several years ago, and I was out working, and I'd been hearing Brother Branham talking about, you know, all them people out there working in the fields, and they would start singing songs, and they would just start singing over and over, and they would just, that Spirit of the Lord would come down. It just make the day go by just a lot better, you know, and it would just bring a presence down. Well, one day I was out laying shingles. That's what I normally do, and kind of proud of myself. A couple weeks ago, I was telling somebody I laid shingles for 11 hours, and it was like 100, at 90-something degrees out there. It's like 110 on the roof. I thought, man, I'm not 22 no more, you know. Wow, 50-something. My little princess back there, she hates it when I say things about her, but when she was little, about 3-4 years old, I'd take her up on the roofs with me, and she'd sit on a bundle of shingles, and I was too cheap to buy a babysitter, you know, or I'd call mom and dad, you know. So, but we had some good times out there. But anyway, I was out there working, and just this little chorus hit me. I started singing it, and I thought, man, I don't got a pen or paper to write it down, so I'm just going to keep singing it till I get home. And then I learned it really well by the time I got home, but it's called I'm Gonna Work Till He Comes. And by the time I'm done singing this, you're all gonna be singing it with me. So it's basically the same chord. But it's called I'm Gonna Work Till He Comes.
Well, I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till Jesus comes someday. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till the noonday's done. I'm gonna work till Jesus comes someday. Well, I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till Jesus comes someday. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till the noonday's done. I'm gonna work till Jesus comes someday. I'm gonna pray till he comes. I'm gonna pray till he comes. I'm gonna pray till Jesus comes someday. I'm gonna pray till he comes. I'm gonna pray till the noonday's done. I'm gonna pray till Jesus comes someday. This is what I was doing that day. I'm gonna shout till he comes. I'm gonna shout till he comes. I'm gonna shout till Jesus comes someday. I'm gonna shout till he comes. I'm gonna shout till the noonday's done. I'm gonna shout till Jesus comes someday. Sing it with me, I know you are. Well, I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work someday. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna work till he comes. I'm gonna work till the noonday's done. I'm gonna work till Jesus comes someday.
Praise the Lord, yes. Can you see how I just couldn't quit singing that? I just up there and I got a lot done that day. But then I got to the part I was shouting till he comes. I'm like, Lord, you're already here. I had to have something to shout about. Amen. Yes, well, praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in his house tonight? Don't you feel safe when you're in the house of God? Oh, my, yes. You know, I've said this before, but, you know, my dad there, he's always been a real tough fellow to me. Always just that guy you look up to and your hero. But the Bible says when the weakest Christian gets on their knees, Satan trembles. Right. Just at the weakest. But I've never seen my earthly dad ever get so afraid that he actually trembled. Mm-hmm. Never. But you take the weakest person on the playground, and if he says something or gets on his knees, that biggest bully will tremble, right. You know? So anyway, that's Satan. He's just a bully. He has nothing about him that right. You'd be scared of. The only people that are afraid of him are those that don't really know God, you know? So anyway, if we could stand tonight, we got a treat for you tonight. We got Brother Ronnie Long. And, you know, all these ministers, they all got their gifts. And Christ speaks through every one of them. But yet, just there's certain ways that certain people might preach or bring something across. It's like somebody that, you know, you have me read a poem, you're going to be like, oh, sit that guy down, you know. But you have somebody that can really read a poem, you're going to be like sitting down saying, oh, could you read another one? Right. Brother Ronnie's one of them kind of preachers. Could you just preach again? You know, we got time. We got to go to work. You know, just you got any more messages in you? And I know Brother Kressel told me, he said, they pulled 3 messages out of me when I was down there. 3 messages. And he asked me today, well, what do we do, you know? 30, 40, 45 minutes to an hour. I said, I can't dictate to a preacher, you know, what to do. I said, you just be led by the Lord. Amen. Because everybody in this building is led by God. Amen. And they fully understand. And they may not want you to quit when you want to quit, you know. So they're just, if you pull on something, it comes to you. Pull on that word tonight and let it come right to you. I guarantee you, if God ordained your steps to be here, he's going to answer something for each and every one of you here tonight. He never leaves a job that's not finished. Amen. So anything, a job that you got for him, put it on that little list. Lord, amen, do this for me tonight. And I guarantee you, he'll do it for free. He won't even charge you. Amen. You know, he's got more than enough. He don't need our little whatever. But the only thing he would ask you for probably is just your praise. Amen. And maybe a little gratitude, a little bit of thanks. Let's just sing that little song, God is so good. God is so good. And we'll have Brother Ronnie make his way up. Whatever key makes me sound good. That's the key I like, you know. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Yes, God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, I hate that whenever I mess a song up. Will he save my sin-sick soul? He set my spirit free.
broken heart. God is so good to me. Yes, God is so good. God is so good.
Bless him.
And I love him so. Yes, I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Yes, and my God, he answers prayer. You believe that tonight? My God, he answers prayer. My God answers prayer. Oh, he's so good to.
Let's just let him know how much we appreciate him. Oh, my God is so good. My God is so good. Yes, my God, he's so good. He's so good. Let's just think about how great he is as we go to prayer. Father, Lord, there's truly no one like you, Lord. And Jesus, you're the name above every name, Father. And you're the reason that we have breath in our lungs this evening, Lord. And you gave us breath for one purpose, and that's to worship you, Lord, to exalt your name above every other, Father. And Lord, we come into your house this evening, Lord, just
looking for you to come and commune with us, Father. And we know that you promised wherever two or three would gather in your name, there you'd be in the midst thereof. And Lord, we're not asking you to sit on the side somewhere, to sit with dirty feet in the corner. But Lord, we're asking that you'd be in the midst of us tonight. Lord, we're asking that you'd be among us, walking in the aisles, Father. And Lord, discerning our hearts, Father, and speaking the word of liberty to us in the hour that we need it, Father. And Lord, we know as men we're unable, Father. There's nothing we can do in our own, but Lord, we just ask that you would take these hands, Father, that you would take these lips, Lord, and you would use them for your glory, Father. I ask that your coal of fire would just circumcise every word that comes forth, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to receive. Lord, we confess tonight, Lord, that we can do nothing in a situation but by you, Father. And we confess tonight that we have great need of you in this building, Father, and great need of you in our lives, Father. We just ask that you would have preeminence, Lord. Would you be our King tonight? Would you come and be our Lord, Father? We surrender ourselves afresh to you, Lord, thanking you for this manifested word you've given us in this hour, Lord. It's not just ink on a paper, but Lord, you brought life to it in this age. Father, we thank you for a revelation. Lord, we thank you for a prophet that came, Lord, and opened the word to us. And Lord, more than that, we thank you for revelated ears that could hear it, Father. And Lord, we just give ourselves to you tonight, asking that you'd receive all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Take this service into your hands, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight, and thank you for the opportunity to come. And if you have your Bibles, as you're turning to the book of Romans, thank you, Brother Nate, for the opportunity, and Brother Eric, and all those involved. I don't really ask a lot of questions. I just pray about something, and then if the Lord says yes, I say yes. So we're here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some home folk, Brother Dallas, Sister Barb, Brother Mike, and there in the back, Brother Wesley. Man, I think that probably 6 years ago or so, I didn't know anybody in Ohio. I've been living here for four, so it was longer than that. And I get a phone call one day from Brother Wes, and he said, yeah, you don't know me, but I hear you like hunting, and I got some good spots. So I flew out, and we had some good fellowship, and his wife can make some mean lasagna if you ever get a hankering for lasagna. So sure appreciate them and their friendship, and kids are getting big, amen. It's the thing about time is it just keeps going. We appreciate old friends, and we appreciate making new friends, amen. Romans, the 10th chapter and the first verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. The word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Does that say thou maybe be saved? It says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. May God bless his word. You may be seated tonight. I'm so sure that this word is true. I believe every word of it. Maybe you don't know me, but you can just settle on something. I believe that this is the vindicated word of the hour. I believe that what we have an understanding of, or what we're striving to have an understanding of, is the vindicated word of the hour. Because it is what produces the life. If you want to know what kind of tree it is, you've got to look at the fruit it brings forth, right? And there's a lot of good trees out there, and there's a lot of good tasty fruits, but there's only one tree producing the fruit of God. There's only one life producing a victorious life, and that's a life touched by God. If God's not in church, then there's no point to come to church. If God's not here with us and making his word live in us, there's no point in coming to gather. We could have stayed at home. Brother could have laid at home and kept watching the TV, but there's life here. That's what got him here. That's what draws us here is there's life where the word of God is preached. And we're not just preaching a word of prosperity, or we're not preaching a word of some false thing way out there, but the word which we're preaching is a word of faith. And by that word of faith, all things are made possible. I believe we should be the most encouraged people on the face of the earth today to know that what we have is an absolute. What we have is the absolute vindicated word of the hour. I can't speak for you. I maybe don't know your name. I haven't shaken your hand. But as for me, I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not looking for another way out or another thing to go to. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will believe this word because God has made it so real to me. Amen. I don't care if the President of the United States came in here and tried to talk me out of it or give me the world for it. I couldn't trade it because this word is so real to me that I would give my very life for it because it is life. Amen. What is this 70 years that we get here? It doesn't amount to much. But where are we going after this? What is really at the end of our road? We've got to know him in his fullness. It's not enough just to know the scriptures or know some good quotes or to know about it, but we've got to know the author, because to know the author is life, right? Praise the Lord. So I'm glad we're in agreement thus far, amen? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, maybe you know this already, but if you don't, let me announce to you that he, the Spirit of truth, has come in our day. The Holy Ghost has come in our day, and he's opened himself, and he's poured himself out into the living church. Amen? It's not something that we're waiting for to come. We're not waiting for something to come and to make this open or to make this happen, but that visitation has already come. We're just walking in victory. But you see, the devil sees a victory, and he wants to stomp on that victory as soon as he can. You'll get a blessing in here tonight, or you get a blessing last Sunday, or you get a blessing a year ago in your life, and you walk out the door, and the devil's right there to try to steal that blessing from you. Because he can't stand for you to walk in victory. He would like to have control over your life by dictating how you feel. By saying, oh, you Nick, you can't be happy about that, or you should be upset about this. And the one thing the devil cannot stand is somebody who walks in victory no matter what the circumstance is. No matter if it's raining outside or if it's sunny outside, the devil cannot stand a victorious life in Christ, because he knows there's only one source where that life can come from, and it's the same life that already defeated him back at Calvary, and he knows you've made it to an overcoming stage. It's not mind over matter or psychology or thinking that I can or wishing that I could, but it's such a surety in you that no matter what he throws at me, I'm going to walk out of here with victory. Because the one living inside me already won. The one that I have living in my house, he already took the victory. We're not waiting for it, but it's already come. Men for 2,000 years waited to tap into something that you and I possess today. They never had a move of God in their life. They lived up to their age. What their age allowed them to live up to, that's what they lived up to. And they were the called and elected in their age. But this is not that age. This is another age that we're living in, where we are called and elected to a higher plane than Wesley was, or a higher plane than Luther was. We're called and elected to believe a more sure word of prophecy than the ages gone by. We've got something that they wish that they had, but it wasn't for them. It was for us. That there would be a people come that would receive a message in their day. A message in their time. And why would God come into the darkest of all ages and manifest himself in a greater light than he ever did if he wasn't going to change your situation? Don't come to me and tell me that God's not able to change your situation, but I've recognized he's come in our age. I've recognized that he come and he take the lips of a broken Kentucky hillbilly and he would bring the prophetic word of God that would set the Bible open unto a plane that nobody had ever experienced before. Amen. It was just guessing. It was just a mystery. It was just waiting for it to be revelated, but it's been revelated unto me. I don't know about you, church, but this word has been revelated unto me. I recognize that Christ is not coming, but Christ is here already. Why would Christ walk into a room if he wasn't going to do something with his power? You'll not find one scripture in the Bible where Jesus ever walked somewhere and didn't do it with a purpose. I believe he's walked inside those doors already. I believe he's come when we asked him and we invited him to come. I believe we brought him with us. Now, why would he walk into those doors unless he was going to fulfill a purpose? Amen. I don't know you. I don't know what your struggle is, but I know he's able to take care of it. Yes. You might not know me, but he's been able to take care of every struggle that I've ever been in my life. Amen. Always on time. Amen. Always on target. Yes, he's never missed. He's never let me down. He's never let me fall. Right. He's never given up on me. No. Brother Nate, no matter how many times I'd walk away from him, he never gave up on me. What is it? Why? Because he can't lose one of his. Amen. Now you got to identify yourself in the scripture. When I read the prophetic word of God, I don't identify myself as a goat or falling short or running out of oil at the end or just coming up to the finish line. When I read the word of God, I see myself as a finisher. I see myself as walking in victory across the line because God has elected somebody to do it. And I say it's me. I say it's you tonight. You've got to place yourself within the word. But so many times have the people of God been caught under circumstance, right? Caught under circumstantial worship. Coming here on a midweek, and sometimes we just don't feel like worshiping. All the things going on and all the business going on and the disappointments and the phone calls we had today, and we come into the house of God, and we're bound underneath circumstance. God has not called us to be circumstantial worshipers. He's not called us to be circumstantial believers, but he called us to walk in victory no matter what's going on in this world out here, no matter what's going on in our family or our job. He called us to have a vision of victory no matter what may be thrown at us. Amen. Our type in the scripture is Joseph. Circumstance drove Joseph into Egypt. He couldn't control the circumstances, but he still ended up in Egypt. But he never lost his victory. He never wondered what was going on or if God forsook him, but it was circumstance. He would have never ended up in Egypt. But watch the plan of God as he forced Joseph to go into Egypt and to be caught into bondage and to be caught into slavery. And by that, it would save his entire family. It would save the entire house of Israel because he was caught up under the will of God. Amen. In circumstance. But it did not change Joseph's testimony. Didn't change how he approached God. He didn't come into the house of God and say, well, you caught me into slavery. I don't think I should worship you as hard today. He didn't come in the house of God and say, well, you know, I everything hasn't turned out just like I wanted in my life. I don't feel like I should worship you today. No, Joseph is our type of an overcoming worshiper. No matter what's going on out there, we will worship the Lord. We can't help it. We can't deny it because we know that all life has come from him. If he never did another thing for me, he's already done enough. Just to call us to come into a view of this word, he's already done enough. To think that what we have is more than ages gone by. But there they were stuck in Egypt, and it was circumstance that put them there, right? It was a famine in the land, and a famine drove them in. I believe the world out there is right now in a spiritual famine, and the famine is causing people to be driven. We got loved ones coming back into the church and prodigals returning, and people, it's a famine in the land, and it's forcing people to where they need to go. Now, famine will do two things. It'll bring out the worst, or it'll bring out the best. A famine in the land will either bring out the worst in you, or it'll bring out the best in you. You know, stories in the scripture where there was a famine in the land, and there was a woman there that was so desperate that two women were talking. They were so hungry. They hadn't had food in who knows how long. And they said, why don't we boil your son today? And we'll eat my son tomorrow. That seems ridiculous, right? But that's scriptural. Famine will do two things. It will either bring out the worst or it'll bring out the best. To think that that thought would even come through and that they would act on that thought, it brought out the worst in them. But that's not our story as the Church of the Living God. Famine will bring out the best in a true believer. It will bring out the best in a true worshiper because they know that all else fell. Though he slay me, I trust him with my life. Amen. We're going somewhere that's already been promised, but we've got to get out of this circumstance that we're in. For a title tonight, I just want to speak for a few minutes on step into it. Amen. You got to step into your victory. Amen. The devil would have you bound up in your circumstance and where you're at and just holding right there in a holding pattern. The devil does not care that you're sitting here in church. He's not worried about it. He's fine with it as long as you're not entering into that Holy of Holies. He is okay with you entering into the first tabernacle. He's all right with you entering the second tabernacle, but he does not want you to enter into that real Holy Ghost where that victorious life lays. That's the only thing that can defeat him, and he's okay with us just being a church member. But I'm not okay with just being a church member. I'm not okay with just warming a pew. That's not my call in life. It's not my call in life just to come in and let somebody else take away the victory, but I was born to be a victor. I was born to be an overcomer. I was born to walk over that line in the promised land. Amen. But you see, many of those Israelites, they were not, it wasn't their choice that they were in Egypt. It was 400 years, I believe, right? They were in Egypt. And in that time, it was one family. It was Joseph and his brothers, right? They came into Egypt. And 400 years later, there would be 2.5 million of them. Now, out of those 2.5 million, they were born into circumstance. They were born into something they couldn't control. It was just the world around them. We're made to make bricks. That's what we do. We smash straw. We make bricks. We sing songs in minor chords. That's how we do. That's our life. They were born into it. But that wasn't the end of their story. I think about one individual who I believe is very close to us, and that's Joshua. Who maybe was born into that kingdom of Egypt, and he was born building bricks for another kingdom, but there was another kingdom on his mind. There was something else that he knew he was destined for. This making bricks down here is not my story, but there's somewhere else I need to get to. If only God would send a deliverer in our age that would be able to break the bondage that we're under. If only God could send a prophet in our age that would break the bondage that we're under, that would reveal the word to us that we could walk out by faith. Yes. If only God would do that, Joshua prayed, and he had heard that there was a man, but he tried with his hands and he failed. But Joshua knew my deliverer is coming. Yes. My deliverer is coming. Amen. And then we catch up with Moses on the backside of the desert where he had run from God. He tried it with his hands and he failed. He tried it with his own ambitions and he failed. I can relate. Every time that you try to take control of your own life, you'll fail. You'll end up in the gutter. I think it very fitting that Brother Kobe would sing, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." You know, a prophet of God would say that as Moses saw that burning bush afar off, and as he approached the bush, that bush had everything that he had need of. If we approach that pillar of fire with the same reverence and respect that Moses did, that pillar of fire has everything that we have need of. If you're needing something tonight, it's in the pillar of fire. If you need a healing in your body, it's in the pillar of fire. If you need victory in your life, it's in the pillar of fire. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's in the pillar of fire. It has everything that we have need of. And Moses there having his desert experience, and he's getting the word from God, and he's getting the revelation, and there Moses being a complex man, built with complexes, and what about this, and it's not going to work, and why me? And God says, I'll give you two signs that Israel might know that I commanded you to come, that Israel might know that you are the I am. Amen. You see, the two signs were never for the critics. The prophet of God said the critics will always be critics. They'll always be trying to find faults in the word, and they'll find what they're looking for if that's what they're looking for. But the two signs were given to them that believe. He said, they'll know. They'll know that the I am has come and spoke with you. Now watch these two signs as it takes them through the phases of coming out of Egypt. And they come down into Egypt, and there we know the story, right, like the back of our hand, right? Everybody in here been to Sunday school? You've seen Prince of Egypt. You've seen the Ten Commandments. You know the story. He comes down and God activates those two gifts in his life. Those two poles in his life. But there was another one to come. There was another exodus to come. As Brother Bram says, that there's two parts to redemption. It's not just coming out of something, but it's walking into something. It's stepping into victory. It's not enough just to come out. We've come out of the world. We come out of gangs. We come out of drugs. We come out of just crazy ideas and occults and all kinds. Everybody's background's different. Come out of broken homes and come out of homeless shelters and come out of all kinds of places. But we've got to step into something if we're going to make it all the way. God's already called us out. He said, come out of her, my people. We've got to step into the next phase. We've got to cross over into the promised land. The prophet of God would type that promised land as the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you will never have enough to make it all the way. It's the fuel. It's what fuels us to go on. It's how we overcome. We'll never make it without it. You wonder why sometimes we struggle, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to overcome, and I'm trying to be a better Christian. You just got to walk into faith, into the promised land, and let God do the work. How many times have we tried to give up something on our own and fail? Give up some addiction or some habit or some belief on our own. And fail. And we might give it up mind over matter for a few months and then it's right back on us. But when God ever comes and takes something out of our life, it's gone for eternity. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. There's no way to get back to it. He's cut the bridge between you and that thing. It's eternally removed. That's the kind of victory I want. That's the kind of victory we need. Not to be dwelling in circumstance. Not to be dwelling. I want the faith of Joshua. To know that there's something more. We could pass the mic around and everybody would have the same response. I feel that there's a greater purpose in my life than where I'm at right now. I think we all can agree. There's something greater in my life than where I'm at right now. God's calling us to another place. God's calling not physically. We're not to pack up and move to West Virginia because that's the triangle where the rapture is going to take place. No, he's calling us into the Holy of Holies. He's calling us into another place where we're hidden in Christ. That's our refuge. That's our strong tower. That's where we find peace. We will not find it in drugs, or we will not find it in prostitution. We will not find it out on the streets. Our refuge is under that Shekinah glory. We'll not find refuge anywhere else. That's the only place, and it only comes through the Word. Amen. You will not get it without the Word. It is the key to get into that promised land. As Joshua began to meditate on these things and thinking, when he comes back, I'll get behind him with everything I've got. When that deliverer comes, I'm going to put my shoulder with him with everything I've got. I'm so sick of this place making bricks. I've got to get out of here. I've got to change my cycle. I've got to break what I've been doing. I've got to step into something different. Yeah. And as Moses came and vindicated that the Lord had been with him, Joshua recognized that anointing and he got underneath the headship of it. Amen. You see, you'll never find your way out of Egypt unless you get under the headship of the Word. Amen. You'll never find your way out of your circumstance unless you get under the headship of the Word. You'll never get there on your own. You've got to come underneath, subject to every word of God. Amen. That's the surrender. I just had a phone call earlier today, and a brother asked me, he said, you know, you prayed for me here a couple months back, and you just said, be more sincere and surrender. He said, what does that mean? I said, you've got to come under headship of every word of God. Amen. That's the hard part, because we want to call the shots. We want to be, you know, Mr. In Control. We don't like it when we don't get to decide what happens. Our trust must be under the headship of the Word. I may not understand it all. I may not even agree with it all, but I place myself under the headship of that Word. Amen. Because that's the only way I'll ever make a victorious life. Amen. How else are we going to defeat the wiles of the enemy? You've tried it. You've tried to go against the devil toe-to-toe. And without that Shekinah glory, you'll never match him. But with it, he trembles, as the brother said. Amen. Now, if a weak Christian can get on their knees and the demons tremble, and the devil himself trembles, How about a Christian who's positionally placed under the Word, who knows exactly who they are, who knows that they're redeemed, justified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that are positionally standing on the revealed Word of the hour? What about when a strong Christian gets on his knees and prays? How many demons tremble and run? He can't stand at the name of Jesus when someone knows him as a personal God. That's why we follow what we follow. That's why we believe what we believe. Because it produces the fruits that it promised.
Amen.
I've tried other things. I tried other sources. It did not produce what it promised. But let me say that this word is producing the miraculous even in this age.
Amen.
Even now. Even through man's hands and mortal lips. This word is producing the miraculous.
Amen.
We just came out of our church had a youth camp last weekend. And there was... I don't know. I think they counted maybe 750 people in that building. And there was a miraculous done in that place. Healings. Diabetes healed in an instant. Holy Ghost filled in an instant. The crooked body parts straightened out in an instant. This word is not failing. We're not weak. We're not backing up. We're not in a corner. But this word is stronger than it's ever been. This word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not failing. It's not diminishing. But it's getting ready to take a group of people in a body change. I believe we make up that group. Are we okay? Am I moving too fast? Is everybody comfortable? Are we comfortable? Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Doesn't mean I'm going to go a long time. I just got hot.
Bring it. Amen.
I was not created to make bricks for Pharaoh.
No, sir.
I don't believe you were created to make bricks for Pharaoh.
No, sir.
I don't believe that's your story. I don't believe that's your life. You would not be under the sound of my voice hearing a revelated word in this hour if that was your story.
Amen.
But there's a shout come from heaven. It said, throw down the hammers. Throw down the straw and cross over into a promised land. That's our promise in this hour. I believe Joshua, when he was building bricks and he was making those walls and he heard a sound that the deliverer had come back, I believe he threw his hammer right down. I believe he threw that shovel as far as he could see it. I'll not make another brick for Pharaoh.
Amen.
I've been building another man's kingdom my whole life, but I'm not going to build that kingdom anymore. There's one kingdom that I'm interested in building.
Amen.
It's not me, Joshua. It's not Moses. It's not this individual over here. There's one kingdom that we're interested in building, and that's the kingdom of the Lord. That's the kingdom of the promised land. That's the kingdom of this revelated word in this hour.
Amen.
It's the only way that we'll find refuge in. It's the only place we'll find safety.
Amen.
Is under that word. Now there they go. You think they would have had it done. They saw the flies come and the frogs come. And they saw all the plagues fall. And they saw the firstborn taken. They saw the water turn into blood. And you think, man, if I'd have been there, I'd believe everything that guy said.
Amen.
But those first two signs were not enough.
Right.
There they cross over the Red Sea. Following after the word.
Right.
And you think they would have so much faith to overcome any mountain, any obstacle that they would have in front of them.
Right.
And yet even in the middle of the sea, they would begin to doubt. There they are walking through the waters parted and they're beginning to doubt because they hear
right. The
sound of the Egyptians.
Right.
They begin to hear the sound of that old bondman.
Yeah.
They begin to hear the sound of, look what you did yesterday. You were making bricks yesterday.
Right.
See, they begin to forget.
Yeah.
What the Lord had already done for them.
Amen.
And then they get to the edge of the Red Sea and the word of the Lord stands true. I'll not leave you.
Right.
I'll not forsake you.
Yeah.
I'll not give up on you in the time of trial. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, I will raise up a standard against
right.
them.
Right.
And there that water begins to fall over every enemy that they had in life.
Amen.
You think about it. Those Egyptians had beat them. They'd whooped them. They'd kicked them. No doubt they'd murdered family members. They'd made them work tirelessly. They took away their straw. They'd made them work 7 days a week. They just abused them. They had all the dirt on them. They had all the gossip on them. They had everything to keep them pinned down. They were the bondmen. But there at the power of the word of God, every enemy that they had was destroyed in the Red Sea. They got to watch every enemy that they had utterly destroyed right in front of their eyes. And there was a mighty shout that rang out.
I believe it was a time of rejoicing, a time of jubilee, to think that every enemy is under our feet. But that was still not enough. There they find themselves wandering in the desert, and there through the desert you think, oh, well, you know, we've come so far. But then watch how the devil creeps back into the church of the living God. He creeps back into the bride, trying to sway her, bringing doubt. They're forgetting of those things which God's already done for them. They're forgetting of those miracles that God's already performed in their life. They begin to backslide. They begin to find themselves worse and worse and worse and going backwards seemingly. This is not a time to go backwards. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but this is not a time to be going backwards on what you believe in. This is not a time to be getting shaky on where your feet are planted and wondering what about or what if. This is not a time to be backing up. This is a time to go forward in victory. This is a time to charge the enemy. This is a time to be so sure that what you believe is the absolute truth that nobody can shake you from that. This is not a time to go back to our old habits and our old ways and discover new habits. This is a time to walk stronger than we've ever walked before. Amen. Now, plague will bring two things, the best and the worst. And there they find themselves, and they're complaining about God, wandering in the desert, not recognizing that they're walking right by the promised land the whole time. They're just 4 days' journey from there, and it took them 40 years to realize we can cross over that river. You see how us as the church member have walked into church our entire lives, and we've been right up on the threshold of a total victory in our life, but we haven't recognized that we can step over that river. I believe that's about to change. I believe if that's your situation, it's about to change for you to recognize we are able to take that land. Amen. Didn't take very long for them to get caught under that old devil again. And they didn't have no victory. And there they are thinking God's forsaken us and God's left us out here to starve to death in this desert. Oh, look, there's a heavenly food from heaven. Anyways, as I was complaining. Amen. You see how quick we forget what God's doing for us? Amen. What God's already done, what he's promised to do. We just think, oh my, I'm going through a trial right now. You know, if this so-and-so wouldn't have died, then, you know, maybe I believe God. Or if this sickness hadn't fallen on me, maybe I believe God. Or if so-and-so wouldn't have walked away from the message, maybe I believe God. But you see how quickly we forget what God's doing in our midst? Amen. But not Joshua. Come on. Not that old Joshua, the faithful one. Right. Not him and Caleb. They had their eyes on another prize. They knew there was something in them that couldn't settle for just wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And they believed every word that Moses preached. And as Moses was taken off the scene, he said, "Don't let these words depart from out of thy mouth." Amen. Joshua remembered that commission. "I'll not let these words depart from my mouth, but I'll keep them in my mouth and I'll meditate on them day and night. They'll be nigh thee, even in my mouth." I just got to step over into that land and that word will be activated. We wonder why the promises of God haven't come to pass for us. It's because we're not in our land. Amen. They would never have been blessed if they were stayed in Egypt. They would have never been blessed in Kadesh. They're blessed people. Everything they touch, everywhere they go, they're blessed. But they've got to be in their land to come under full blessing. They've got to be in their homeland to be under. Even now, that's the war, right? And over Jerusalem, they want that land. They've got to be in their homeland to be blessed. You say, "Well, I'm not Jewish. I'm not from Israel. That doesn't apply to me." Oh, yes, it does. It's not a physical Jerusalem. It's a spiritual Jerusalem in that land. You've got to get under the word. You've got to get under that anointing of the Holy Ghost, or you'll never come under full blessing. You'll come in contact with it. You'll bump up against it, but you've got to step into that victory if you're ever going to receive a full anointing, a full blessing, a full satisfaction, a full filling. We've got to cross over sometime. We can't just dwell on the banks of the River Jordan. But watch the pattern of how they got over into the land. I know you're all Bible studies in here. Joshua didn't just step over himself. All anointed as he was, he didn't just step over himself, say, "I can do this." He'd have ran out in the middle of the river. Caleb didn't jump out there and say, I can cross the river. He didn't say, well, if we take all our people and we build a dam of this river, then maybe we can cross over. That was not the word that Moses commanded them. But he said, put the word before you in all things. And as they got up to the river, it was in the month of April where the water was rushing as high as it is at any time of the year. And watch the mortal man kick in and say, well, can't we wait a few months? And we'll cross over another day. We'll cross over in December, or we'll cross over and the water's a little bit less. Or, Brother Wes, it'd be like God trying to tell you to go kill a deer in the rut in April. You won't find one. You might find one with antlers, maybe. But see, God doesn't care about what binds these three dimensions. He wants somebody that'll take him by faith at his word. Amen. And act on the promises that he's already given. He said in April, and Joshua says in 3 days we're going to cross over that river, in 3 days time, and we'll put the word before us. And the prophet would tell us that as they got to the river, they put that ark over their shoulders, and as the priesthood began to step, the water receded. Amen. And the water receded. Right. And not 1 foot got wet. See what happens when you put God's word first and you just follow what he's already promised that he'd do for you? Put the word before you and it'll all come together. Amen. Just keep walking in the word. Amen. Maybe I don't have the greatest revelation. Just keep walking in the words you have. Amen. Maybe I don't understand what this guy said. Just keep walking in the words you have. Amen. Put the word before you and the rest of it will all come together. Amen. That's the only way we're going to cross over. But let me say that somebody had to take the first step. Is that okay? Amen. Somebody had to take the first step. Amen. Now maybe you're up against a wall with something that'll take your life if you don't get rid of it. Somebody's got to take the first step. Maybe you've been trying to get rid of that addiction your entire life. Somebody's got to take the first step. Somebody's got to step into a promise. Maybe you've been waiting to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's got to take the first step. Somebody's got to walk into victory. I say it's me. I say that Joshua anointing is upon the church of God to take a step into a promised land where they hadn't been to in years. It had been 500 years maybe since they've been in that land. Maybe for us it's been 2,000 years. Maybe it's been 4,000 years. But we're walking back to a land that was once ours. We're walking back to a promise that we've been to before. I see a land over there. It looks like home. It looks like somewhere I've been before. This shackles and this bondage that I'm under in this day-to-day, just going from service to service, like living from paycheck to paycheck, that's not me. There's another land out there. There's somewhere where I can live under the fountain, where I can be washed and clean daily. There's a reality out there. You might think I'm crazy. That's why I get excited about this, because I've been in the land. I know it's there. I've gone and tasted of the grapes. You can't tell me that the grapes aren't there. Those two spies went over. They tasted of the grapes. The 10 came back with a negative report. We can't do it. There's giants. There's giants. There's giants. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, what giants? I didn't see any giants here. Have a grape. I didn't see any giants. I sell milk and honey. I didn't see a giant in that land. If there was, we're able to overcome it. It's on my land. Amen. Those are my children. I can speak for them. It's on my land. Right. It might look like a big giant in there. What giant? Right. Oh, there's a giant in that land. But you're able to slay it. Amen. You're able to overcome it. Amen. Friends, this is a season that we've never been in before.
That's right.
Amen. There's more power in the spoken word than there ever has been before. Why? Because the bride is believing it. Amen. It's not no longer just one man saying, you can do this. Right. You can do these things. But we're watching the manifested word of God come to pass before our eyes.
Amen.
The word is nigh thee, but you've got to put it in your mouth. You've got to speak it. There's power in the spoken word. You've got to recognize you're in the land. First, you've got to recognize, I'm in my land. Secondly, you've got to put the word in your mouth and you've got to speak it. Thirdly, you've got to walk in faith that that word will be vindicated. That's the age that we live in. This is the time that we live in. Friends, I was in Alaska about probably, well, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago. And we were at this little village there. It was maybe about 800 people. You got to take a mud plane to get in there, big tires, a tundra plane, and you drop down in there, and there's a believing church in there. It's called the Tabernacle of the Outermost. It's the furthest west you can go. After that, you're in Russia, about 60 miles from Russia, or the peninsula there, whatever that is, Irkutsk or something. We're just right there on the edge. Some don't like to be called Eskimos because they're pureblood Native Americans that have been there, and so we're there fellowshipping with them and having some revival meetings in the middle of the week, and just God did so many miraculous things. If I take the time to sit down and go over, we'd be here all the whole time. But God does mighty things when people take Him at His word. And we came into that meeting, and I had met the pastor. I shook his hand, but I didn't really know him. And so we walk into there, and there's a little church, maybe 30, 40 people in there, and there's a village of 800 people. So that's pretty good odds. And he's witnessed to every single person in that village. He's tried to get them all to come to church, and then some of them come, and some of them left. And the amazing part to me is his assistant pastor at the time, years back, about 5-6 years before this, had fallen away in an error of the word. He got caught up on some websites and some things, and he had fallen away from believing that the word was vindicated and believing that the word was a reality. And he found himself just going back out into the world and just living whatever kind of life. And I asked about him. He said, well, no, he hasn't been to church in 5 or 6 years. And I said, well, does he still talk to you? He said, well, yeah, he has to. There's only a village of 800 people, and he's the city counselor. So I was like, well, I'd like to meet him. So we go meet him. His name's Dennis, and we're talking for a little bit. Kind fellow, nice brother. And I said, all right, Dennis, well, it was good to meet you. We'll see you tonight. He said, yeah, see you tonight. And then he looks back from his computer and said, wait, what's tonight? I said, what's church? He said, oh, I don't know about that. Okay, well, God bless you. Hopefully we see you. And so we walk out, and there was two other brothers that went on that trip with me, and we come into the service on I think it was a Tuesday night. And that brother, Dennis, comes in, and he sits on the back pew back there. And this brother's preaching a good, fine message, and that service gets over. And we come back the second night on a Wednesday night, and brother's preaching a message, and that brother Dennis is about in the middle of the church. Thursday night comes, and just a real simple word from the Lord, and preached a message. He's sitting in the front row. I said, all right, God's doing something here. And in that moment, we just ended the service, and I just announced to the people. I said, I just feel it on my heart. If there's someone here that needs to give their heart to the Lord, I'm making an opening for it. And behind me, I didn't even know the bass player was trembling, and he stood up and he said, it's me. I'm the one that needs to give my heart to the Lord. And he came up and see somebody had to take the first step, and so he steps out, and we begin to pray over him, and he makes a surrender of his life. And after that, there was a line out the door that we just praying for people, and everybody gathered in and started praying for people. And even maybe the fourth person in, it was told to her what she dreamed in a dream, what she prayed in her closet. And she said, this is God, this is God, this is God, this is God. And that released an anointing in that room where they knew that anything was possible. If the people ever recognize that the supernatural is present, they realize anything is possible. And so about midway through that line, the pastor comes down. He's leading in worship, and he comes down, and he gets in that line, and he asks for prayer for his children. I'm not going to raise hands or ask, but I don't know if there's anybody in here that has a prodigal, but you listen to this story here. And he comes up. He says, I have 8 children, and I want them saved in church. Only 4 of them are in church, and 4 of them are far out into the world. I said, well, we'll pray over them. Let's have our name. He lists all 8 names, and I said, we'll pray over each one of them. He said, well, I want to pray over the oldest one. He's the worst in shape. I said, now that's faith. He didn't pray to get the easy one in and then work his way up to the hard one. He said, if we can get the giant to fall, the rest will come in behind him. He said, let's pray for the oldest one. He's the worst in shape, and his name is Dale, and he's got shrapnel from the Iraq war, and it's in his body, and it's moving to his heart, and he's a raging alcoholic, and I haven't seen him for a couple years. I think he's living on the streets in Anchorage somewhere. Now, mind you, this is a village of 800 people that there's only 2 flights in. Now, during the winter, you can take a snowmobile wherever you want, but this is in the summer, and the only way in is 2 flights a week. The plane only holds 6 people and some food. And that's the only way to get in there. This was not a flying day. It's Tuesdays and Fridays. This was a Thursday. Now, you might think, well, what is the fact? But just watch how God works. And so he begins to pray, and we begin to pray and unite and pray over that Brother Dale. And then he goes back to leading worship, and just God's just performing things in those people's lives, just delivering from suicide spirits and forgiveness spirits, and just allowing people to enter into love. And all of a sudden, this sister begins to rejoice and start screaming and running across the building. I don't know what struck her, but it was the Lord. Now, these are pretty quiet folk. And she began to just rejoice and run around and just screaming. I thought, man, something got a hold of her. Praise the Lord. And I looked, and the pastor was doing the same thing. And I looked to the back, and a young man had walked in that back door. And he walked over against the wall, and he had put his head on the wall. His face was red. He was as drunk as all get out. And as they began to change the song and sing a song, he began to raise his hands and sing the song. He knew the words. There was no projector. He knew the words to the song. I said, well, this young man, he's familiar with the church at least. And then I began to realize what was going on. That Dale that we had prayed for had walked in the back doors of that church 15 minutes after we prayed for him. 15 minutes after we prayed for him. Now, God is my witness. You can call the pastor. I'll give you his number. He can verify. His son walked in the back door. We don't know how he got into that town. We don't know how he showed up on a no-fly day. I didn't ask any questions. All I know is he was standing in the back of the church because somebody took a first step. Because somebody stepped into a promise of God to say, my children are mine. I can speak, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And he took that first step. And by that step, that young man came and gave his heart back to the Lord. And because of that, that man that had hardened his heart to the message, he ran to the front and said, God, forgive me. I realized that I left Jesus when I left this vindicated word. Amen. He said, God, forgive me, crying out. I said, there's still grace for you, brother. Amen. There's still grace for you.
That's right.
And he's back in church to this day. That was 4 or 5 years ago.
Amen.
I don't tell that story so you think, oh, well, that's wonderful for them. But somebody's got to take the first step into this word.
Right.
It's a reality. You can't look at the giant. The giants will always be there. You've got to have the eyes of Joshua and Caleb to say, what giants? I don't see any giants. I see a mighty God.
Amen.
I see a deliverer. I see one who can change the situation, who can turn it all around. That's what I see. Confession in the mouth. Brother Brandon would preach a message called The Paradox in Phoenix, and he would get a new Bible, and he would open that Bible, and there would be bookmarks in that Bible, three of them. You know, these little silk things here. And you think this might not be important to you, but it was pretty important to me. And those three, he said the first one was on, it just happened to be when he got the Bible, the first marker was on the first building of the temple. The next marker was on the second building of the temple. And he flipped it open, and his wife had put a bookmark in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou put into the sea. And doubt it not. If you say, if you say, be removed.
Amen.
I believe there's some spirits in our lives that need to be removed.
Yes.
I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe you need to get rid of the spirit of lust. Be removed.
Amen.
Maybe you need to get the spirit of smoking. Be removed. Maybe you got a spirit of slothfulness. Be removed.
Amen.
I think it's time that the bride puts the word in her mouth and she says, be removed.
Amen.
And be thrown into the sea. We're not doubting anymore, friends. We're not playing church. This is not a game, but this is the end of times. Look around you. The whole world knows it. Atheists know it. Unbelievers know it. Rank sinners know it. They know that this is the end of times.
Amen.
Put it in your mouth and speak it.
That's right.
If you say it and you don't doubt it in your heart,
amen,
it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Does that word say maybe come to pass? That say, oh, if the prophet comes back and prays over you, it'll come to pass. If Moses comes, it'll come to pass. If you say and don't doubt in your heart, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
This year alone, what year is it? 22, has been the most supernatural year I've ever witnessed in my life. God's not weak. The bride is not afraid. I've seen more miracles this year than my whole 35 years put together. God's not up in a corner. He's not retreating. He's waiting for somebody to take him at his word.
Amen.
I say it's us.
Amen.
I say it's time.
Amen.
Put that word in your mouth. They built those temples built on stones, right? Great stones that they found there, and they began to erect those temples. Remember the stone that the builders rejected?
Right.
Well, Joshua was walking in that same land where they would build that temple. And there he found himself seemingly in a corner. He had made a promise to his man, we'll kill every single one of our enemies today. We'll kill every single one. Now, that's a bold promise. And then they begin to fight, and they begin to get against all these enemies coming against them at the same time. Everybody ever feel like that? Oh, yeah. Every enemy you got seemingly united against you. And Joshua is fighting, and he's fighting. He's saying, Lord, you told me to say the word. Now you've got to back me up. And God would cause great stones, the Bible says. Great stones of fire to fall from heaven. And they would slay those giants that they were facing. Everybody know in the scripture? I think it's Joshua 10. And those great stones come from heaven, and they begin to kill those giants. And their great stones of fire begin to fall. And every giant falls before them except for those five kingdoms, right? Because those five kingdoms, Joshua has to destroy himself. Go listen to the greatest battle ever fought. We don't have time to reference all that, but those five kingdoms, Joshua's got to destroy himself. And so they chase down those five kings, and they hide in a cave, and Joshua calls them out of the cave, and he tells the men that are with him, come here, put your foot right on this king's neck. Where does he belong? Under my feet. Amen. Where does that sickness you're dealing with belong? Right. Under my feet. Where does that healing that you need? It belongs under your feet. Right. Where is that victory that you need? It belongs under your feet. Where is that devil that's tormenting you belong? It belongs under your feet. Right. Where's that spirit of anxiety belong? It belongs under your feet. Right. That tormenting devil belongs underneath your feet. Right. And under the commission of Joshua, they killed every enemy that day. Right. To think that Joshua would have the faith to command the sun to stand still. Right. The third sign. The two signs got him out. The third sign gave him total victory. Joshua had the faith to say, son, stand still. Son, stand still. And he didn't look for it to stop. He continued fighting the fight. He knew that God would vindicate him. He knew that God would back him up on every word that he promised. And those stones began to fall from heaven and kill every enemy in front of him. The Bible says that those stones killed more giants than all of Joshua's army put together. You see, when you're in a corner, you just call on the name of the Lord, and the situation will change. I've watched it time again. I watched $10,000 show up into my bank account when I needed it. God is there when you need him. God is always on time when you need him. You've got to recognize who's in the room. This is not just a man coming in the room, but it's him. Now, if some great man in your life, maybe for you it's not the President of the United States, or maybe it's some Turk from over somewhere, maybe it's Abraham Lincoln. Maybe Abraham Lincoln walks in this room. You're going to recognize him, right? You're going to admire him. You're going to look at him in admiration. It's Abraham Lincoln. Have my chair. Take my seat. Do you need water? What can we get you? A cushion? You want to speak? But you see, a greater than Solomon has come in those doors. Amen. And we don't even recognize him. We don't even realize who we're entertaining in the room. We'll entertain Abraham Lincoln, who might have been a good man, but he was a man nonetheless. But the one that we're entertaining tonight is not just a man, but he's the one that can change your situation. He's the one that can bring the dead back to life. Brother Eric was sharing with me a testimony, I believe it was your mother, of the dead coming back. I've seen that with my own eyes, of the dead coming back to life before somebody who knows where they're standing, who knows who's in the room. Anything is possible when he's in the room. Amen. We've just got to recognize what anointing has stepped in here. Amen. What anointing are we underneath? This is not things that we just think about in the past. It's happening today. Amen. Those stones, Brother Branham says, are confessions. I think it's time we pick up one of those great stones that rain from heaven and we put it in our mouth. I believe it was David that was walking along those same shoreline where those stones had fallen, and he had chosen five smooth stones. Right. Where do you think those five stones had come from? Yeah. They were ordained to slay giants. And there they were laying on the ground, not being used. They were dormant, laying on the ground until somebody who recognized them came along and said, I think I'll take those five stones. I think I'll take every one of them and put them in my script bag. Right. I know where these stones came from. they were ordained to kill giants. And there a giant had just been speaking out against them in the living church. And he said, this stone right here, this one's killed a giant before. This is the one I'm going to put in my sling. I believe that we have more firepower in this word than we have need of. I think it's time to take one of these promises of God and put it in your sling and let it go. David didn't doubt where that stone came from. He knew that that stone was created to slay a giant. Amen. He didn't doubt it. He didn't look to see if it hit. He knew exactly where that stone was headed. He knew exactly. You know what's crazy? That stone flew so fast that it went all the way through his metal helmet into his forehead, and Goliath still fell on his face. The scripture never contradicts itself. It moves so fast that that giant, because it was prophesied, he'd fall on his face. What you've said now will happen to you, right? The giant prophesied his own way he would die. I'll fall on my face. God always proves his word. He doesn't prove it by an unbeliever. He doesn't prove it by a critic. He doesn't prove it by a naysayer. He proves it by believers. Are we ready to prove God's word? Is it time to prove God's word? Say, yes, I'm going to take a stone. I'm going to confess this as the truth. I'm going to put it in my sling. Those same stones are what they built the temple out of. It's what God is building his church out of. Amen. You were created to slay giants. Amen. Put the confession in your mouth and speak it. Yes, sir. And giants become subject unto you. Amen. Friends, there's giants in the land. You need victory in your life? There's a giant in that land. You need to get right with the Lord? There's a giant in that land. You need salvation? There's a giant in that land. You want your baby saved? There's a giant in that land. But we're more than able. We've been created and ordained, elected, called to slay giants. But we won't do it unless we come under the leadership of the Word. We won't do it unless we're in our land. We've got to have those things working for us if we're ever gonna see a full victory. Amen. And you know what a full victory is for a bride believer? The changing of our bodies. Without those, we'll never see that. But I believe we have them in our midst. I believe they're right here for us to have. Amen. We can stand to our feet tonight. I pray that was okay. Amen. Put it in your mouth and give it a try. Put it in your mouth and don't watch for it to hit. Don't wait for it and wonder if it landed. Have the faith to know it's going home. Amen. It's hitting the target. It's making it the bullseye. Amen. Right on target. Amen. The music players would come. Reaching in my pocket there, Brother Eric's, and I found this hanky sitting in there. Now, this is a crazy, crazy testimony. I've not told it anywhere. I told it to a brother who had just preached it at a meeting, and so I feel like maybe I could. This handkerchief, last year at a meeting, a brother prayed in a prayer line. There was a miraculous done there, and I was helping him, and as I helped him back to his cabin, I laid him down on his couch, and he didn't know what planet he was from, and he handed me this handkerchief, and he said, it's for you. So I took it and I said, thank you, brother, thank you. And it had a prayer cloth from Brother Branham in it. And so I took it and I put it in a box of, you know how you kind of have at home, you have a box of things that are precious to you, you know, just little. And so I took it and I put it in this box. And at the time we had to change housing and we were waiting for our house to be done that we could move into it. So we had moved in with a young couple in the church our house was ready, and so we had moved out, and we left some of our belongings there in their house, a good bit of our belongings. We were just kind of coming and making a load here and there because they had a big house, and they didn't need them moved. And then a couple months ago, they don't know exactly what happened yet, but there was a gas leak, and that house exploded, and that young couple was burnt in their house. Precious people. And this handkerchief was in that house. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, after everything kind of calmed down, weeks later, I said, you know, I was going to Australia for a camp. And I asked her, I said, is that handkerchief with that prayer cloth,
was it in the house? And she said, yeah, it was in that box, and it all got burnt, and there's nothing left of it. You know, I thought, well, the Lord must not want me to take it then, you know. So we went to Australia, and the Lord did mighty, mighty things. I just got some more testimonies today about what the Lord did in that meeting, just changed hearts and healing and deliverance, and this word is alive.
Amen.
This word is alive. And I got sick at the end of that trip. Got real sick. And we're there at the airport. We got there real early, and me and Brother Nathan from the church, and we're sitting outside security because we got there early enough where we couldn't check our bags, and it's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I think. And I got up to go to the bathroom. I was just sweating and fevery, and came back, and there was this little blue square sitting under my chair in the airport. Now, you can take this or leave it. I don't really care. I don't believe we're going to be on earth long enough for me to get a complex of you believe me or not. And there was a blue square that was sitting under the chair where I had just been sitting. And Brother Nathan had kind of fallen asleep on the chair, and as I came back, he kind of roused it about, and I said, hey, is that your blue tissue under that chair? And he said, no, it's not mine. I don't have a blue one. And I reached under that chair, and it was this handkerchief. The same exact handkerchief. You could take it or leave it. That brother gave me at that camp last year. This year, that brother came back to camp, and I said, you remember that handkerchief that you gave me last year? He said, yeah, it was my only blue handkerchief. It was blue, and it had like almost like silk squares around the outside edges. I said, like this? He said, yeah, like that. I said, this is that handkerchief. He said, yeah, it is. And then I told him the rest of the story about how it got there. Your situation is not too big for God. Your need is not too big for God. God is so mindful about every situation in your life.
Amen.
Even the little things, just to vindicate to you that you're on the right track.
Amen.
That you're moving in victory, that you're walking where you need to be walking. How much more the big giants?
Amen.
I've seen tumors fall right in the middle of a church service. Just last week, 2 weeks ago now, we were in Mexico. We prayed for some people. I watched a thyroid gland that was sticking out like this swell up to be smooth. Symptoms totally gone. In that same service, I watched a hernia retract on a man's body and go back to a smooth stomach. Don't tell me that this word isn't alive. This is not charismatics or some crazy move. This is the living reality of the word. This is why we believe what we believe.
Yeah.
Not just to follow a man or because it sounds poetic. We believe this because it works.
Amen.
Sorry if I've kept you long, but I don't know if you know that song, There's Power in the Name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. She'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Are you in that bride? Oh, we're the bride, we're rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's power, there is power in the name. Brother Eric.
Don't that just freshen you up? Amen. You know, so many thoughts I was thinking sitting there and just sitting in a church listening to a supernatural word from a supernatural God. Why would we think that something supernatural wouldn't take place? And I was sitting there, my brother just gave me just the gist yesterday of the handkerchief. Is there something in that handkerchief?
I took that prayer cloth out, but it wasn't.
Okay, so you had a prayer cloth in there, okay. But anyway, he said, told me something about that, and God can take something from 1,000 miles away and make it appear right there. He's God. He can do anything. Like he said, if we knew who he really was, we wouldn't think twice about asking him for anything. So I'm sitting there in the chair back there, and I thought, you know, something told me just ask him. If he doesn't say it, just ask him to tell about that handkerchief. And you said, hey, I got to tell you something, just like that. God works that fast. Amen. You pray for somebody, and 15 minutes later, they walk in the door of a place there just it's not possible for them to come in. Right. You know, Satan has told every one of us in here, it's impossible for you to live right. It's impossible. Well, it is in this flesh. So he's not lying, but it's not impossible for the God of heaven to come and live in our life, and he lives that perfect life throughout us. So I was like, oh, break every chain, every chain. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, tonight would be a prime night to, if you got something in your life, when he said get it out, remove it, tonight would be a perfect time. And I thought about this, and Brother Nick, the preacher back there, he leaned right at me and says, are you thinking about calling a prayer line? You know, it's just like that. And I thought, but this is what I was thinking tonight. If you got a chain that needs broke in your life, I don't want to have a big, long prayer line or anything like that, but I'd like for you to just step out up here by faith, and I'd like to have our brother come up and just pray one prayer of freedom for whatever's in your life, for it to be taken from. He said, yeah, if it's you come out of drugs, but you got to go into something. You come out of this, you got to go into something. And the old saying is, if somebody shuts the door, God will open a window, but you got to go somewhere. So I'm saying tonight, you think about the one most important thing that you want rid of in your life and step up here on faith. And we're going to have our brother pray that it be totally removed. I'm looking at faces and I see your mind going, well, should I pray for this or pray for that? Bring it all. If God can, if he's your all in all, he can bring it all. I'm going to sing that little song, Shut In With God, in a secret place. Remember, he said, this is a secret place. This is, the world knows nothing about this, sir. But they wouldn't even be here if they knew, because it's not in them to come. So, but let's shut in with God. We've been here maybe an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. We've sat and watched TV for hours, you know. But yet we're in the presence of an almighty God. And sometimes in the flesh it wears us out, because this flesh, it's hard to be under this presence for a long time. I remember Perry Green one time, he would drive Brother Branham home from meetings, and he was saying this, and he said, you know, I'd be riding home with Brother Branham, I'd be driving him, you know, after these meetings. Brother Branham would have been praying for the sick and raising the dead and tumors falling off, and he would be riding down the street, taking him home, and Brother Branham, still under that anointing, yeah, there's a man in that house right there, and he's got this issue. Oh, here in this house right here, there's a woman right there praying for her daughter. It needs healed. And in this house, and he said he's just under that anointing. Finally, Brother Branham just couldn't take no more, and he'd look over at Brother Perry, which I wouldn't want to have been Brother Perry in this situation. But he said, Brother Perry, could you just tell me a joke? Could you just tell me a joke, Brother Perry? And he goes, oh, Brother Branham, but the angel of the Lord is still with you. He said, but I can't be under this presence no more. You know, I know it'll offend him, but I just can't be into this no more. But we can tonight. We can break every chain. But let's just shut in with God in a secret place, and then let him just heal us openly. And if you want, while we're singing this, just whatever's on your heart that you need from Almighty God, you just make your way up here. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding his face. Oh, gaining new power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God. Oh, let's just sing it again. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding his face. Oh, gaining new power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God. One more time, real lightly. Shut in with God in a sea. That's what we're doing, aren't we? Oh, there in the Spirit, beholding his face. Oh, gaining new power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God, gaining new power to run in the race. What happens when you run a race? Sooner or later, you finish it. Tonight, it can be finished. It can be settled right here and right now. So we're going to have our brother pray, and I'm standing here too. I've got my need. Thank God we've got needs, because then we can know that he's God and he can show up for me. I think sometimes the preachers sometimes get even hit harder, you know, like he said earlier, hit the greatest one, you know, and the other ones will fall. Oh, man, I've been hit so hard. But, you know, Brother Branham preached on the boxers. You know, back then, they used to fight with just socks on their hands or bare-fisted. And but they could take a punch, he said. But you saints of God, you get hit and hit and hit all week, and you can take a punch. You can take a punch. But we don't want to take a punch tonight. We want a blessing. We want a blessing.
Amen. Father, we, Lord, come before you, Lord, these people that have stepped out by faith, Lord, brothers and sisters of the faith, Father, that, Lord, your scripture says, have faith in God, and if you say, it shall be given unto you, Lord. And Father, we're asking now, Lord, that as these needs have been brought to your altar, Father, you know each one by name. Father, you know each need before it was asked. Father, you knew the need before it was even an issue, Father, and you commissioned an angel to administer to that need, Father. And Lord, by faith now, we're asking that your anointing would come over and break every yoke, Father, that the enemy would put against these people. Father, Lord, maybe it's for someone not even in this building. I pray that even now, Lord, your Holy Spirit would go to that situation, Lord, and bring healing, Lord, would bring grace, Father, would bring repentance, oh God. Father, I pray that your Spirit would do what it does, Father, and work a mighty work in their life, Father. And for those standing before this altar today, Lord, we feel you in our midst, Lord. You're our healer, our deliverer, our Savior, Father. And Lord, we ask that just once more, Father, you'd come in and you'd touch these lives, oh God, Father, that you'd speak to each need, Lord, that every mountain would be removed, Father. I commission by the authority of the word that every foul spirit would be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Satan, take your leave from these people. They've walked by faith and they've stepped out honoring what God has commanded them to do, and you have no hold on them anymore. They follow the commandments of the Lord. Take your leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone would go free tonight. Every knee would be answered. Every sick would be healed. I pray you bring liberty to the captive tonight, Lord. I pray that every chain would fall, Lord. By the power of your name, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And amen. You accept that tonight.
Amen.
Yes, you know, I was thinking my children. And, you know, I can think of your children, and I can feel something like God touched them.
Yes.
But when I think of my children, when he thinks of his children, oh, my, he said, I love them so much that I'm going to send my only begotten son, and I'm going to have him not just lay his life down, but I'm going to have him crucified for the rest of my children.
Amen.
And I'm thinking of my children. Here's my one right here. God has moved her just this step to this step, and Satan says, oh, this is exciting back here. It's exciting back here. And then she's like, well, but I'm not happy in my heart back here. She takes another step forward. Oh, I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to feel better, because you're getting closer to that glory. And my heart goes out to my son that I haven't talked to him in a couple years or so, but don't think God hadn't talked to him. How many times when we were running from our parents, and that we, you know, as parents sometimes think, well, you know, if I could only talk to him, but God is right there. He's omnipresent. When you're praying your prayers, there's an old song I recorded on a CD. One of my dad's, he liked, and I recorded it for him. If I could only hear my mother pray again. If I could only hear my mother pray again. And but there I've got a mother living. She's on her nightstand for years. She has all these names of all these people she's praying for. And I was one of them. And do you see the fruits he was talking about? Tonight, I'm a fruit. I'm standing here tonight, and I'm a fruitcake to the world. You know, but to God, I'm a fruit that come from his tree.
That's right.
And so I'm part of him, and he's part of me. And yes, and we're in love. And we're going to spend eternity together,
amen.
You know. So, but whatever you had need of, it's yours.
That's right.
It's yours. I can't give it to you, but he already gave it to you. You just got to go and pick it up. You just got to go pick it up. So tonight, I believe that you picked it up tonight. Many that I pray for here in this church, I'm starting to feel like family here. I'm starting to feel good here. And life is, isn't it somehow you meet a total stranger and it's like you've known each other forever?
Yeah.
See, we've never physically seen God, but in ways we have, because we're looking at God. You know, we're looking at God in people, and he talks to you every day through somebody, you know. But I long to be shut in with God. one of these days, if you aren't shut in with God, you'll be shut in with somebody else. You know, we don't want to be shut in with Him. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just get a little excited here for a minute. Let's sing just a couple songs and we'll get out of here. And there's a couple I was thinking about that, you know, whenever I sing them, I think of quotes that Brother Branham said. And one of them is, "It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul." And I think of that little spring that was bubbling up, you know, and he said, "Why are you bubbling up?" It's just because he was so happy inside. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. Well, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. It's bubbling day and night. Oh, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. It's bubbling day and night. You know, one other thing I was sitting there thinking about is the devil thinks if he just throws enough mud at you, that, you know, that he'll throw the mud and it'll hit and it'll just slide right off. He'll throw more mud at you and it'll hit you and it'll slide a little bit off. But if he thinks if he throws enough mud, eventually it'll start to stick. But if you don't get a bath and you don't get under the water of the Word, it will stick. And tonight, like I hear a message like tonight and these messages and the way Brother Nate preaches, it feels like you come to church and you've got all the sins of the world and the dirt and the muck, everything that Satan's threw at you all week. And you come into church and it feels like you just get clean. You just get clean. But you were clean when you walked in the door. That's just lying vanities that the devil throws at you. But when I walk out of church, I feel like I've had a spiritual shower. Showers of blessings and showers that we plead for, showers that we need. You know, but it all comes from an old song I used to hear my grandpa sing a long time ago, and we sing it yet today, and it was good enough for him. It's that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. How about singing that with us, and I'm going to let Brother Nate and take this, and we'll go home thinking of great things that God's done for us. Did you enjoy it tonight? Did you enjoy it? Yes, me too. Me too. Yes. Now, I will say this. Brother Nate got me the other day, and he said, "Brother Covey, how long is that sermon going to keep simmering?" He said, "You need to get up there. I think it's already cooked. It's ready to be preached." And I said, "I know, but it's so much easier to say, Brother Ronnie, can you come and preach? Brother Nick, can you come and preach?" You know, it's a lot easier for that, because I always knew this. I always felt a calling to preach, but I always scared me the most. What scared me the most was I knew if I stood up here, I was held accountable for what I said to people, and I was held accountable for what I didn't say. If God put on your heart to say something, you say, "Oh, no, nah, that'll hurt that person." No, that's what scares me the most. And my brother says, "This is a holy place. This isn't to be not taken serious, you know." But God does have a sense of humor. He knows we're human. He created us just the way that we are, you know. So, but anyway, just give me that old-time religion, because it's good enough for me. Yes. Well, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion.
save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying, and it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time. Oh, give me that old. Oh, give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me.
You may be seated just for a minute. We're going to let you out. You don't get preachers up here, they'll go on and on and on, but I ain't going to do that. I just want to tell our brother, Ron, how much we enjoyed it.
Amen.
Yeah, I love it when you got somebody who knows what they're talking about. Now, I got to get the sample last Thursday. I snuck up to the church, and he was happened to be preaching that night, so, and I enjoyed that too. And I love it because, you know, a lot of times people get up and they don't say anything. I mean, they really do. They get up and they don't really say much, or by the time they're finished, you don't feel like they've accomplished anything. Or they'll read a quote and they won't explain it. And Brother Branham said, it's our job to break it down to the people. If you don't break it down, the people won't know what you're talking about. Because they can sit at home and read the quotes, and they can sit at home and listen to the tapes, but they can't really get from the tapes what you can get from Brother Ron brought tonight. I love that. I love listening of talking about, you know, Brother Brown said that was a perfect type of them coming out of Egypt. But the good thing about it, he didn't leave us in the wilderness. If you don't get to the promised land,
you
haven't done anything. Because there's a lot of people, you know, when he was talking about it, and I was thinking in my mind, I said, you know, he said that all those 400 years they were in there. And when it was all said and done, there was 2 million people there, but only two of them. Out of all that God had done for them, only two of them that went all the way. A lot of them, there's 2 million that came out.
Amen.
2 million came out. But out of the 2 million that came out, only two of them took that third step. A lot of them followed Moses when he was in Egypt. A lot of them followed him in the wilderness. But when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they started thinking, wait a minute, how can you follow that man that far and then turn around and walk away? How can we follow our prophet this far and then turn around at Kadesh Barnea and walk away? He was taking us back into the Word, where Brother Ron took us tonight, back into the Word. That's what I love about it. Anytime you bring the Word, this church will love it, because we love the Word of God. And we know it's that third step, that third pull that you got to have. And what he did was he took us into the land. Thank God for Joshua. Because he took what Moses had, and Brother Branham said, Joshua's the Holy Ghost. He took what the prophet had, and he says, as I was with him, so will I be with you. That's why I love that story about Moses, because that's my path. That's my story. That's your story. That's where we come from. And you got to go all the way into the land. And when you get in there, take that step. Take that step, and then whatever you need, you got. I mean, you don't have to wait for somebody else. Brother Branham talked about the man who had a little boy who got shocked in a pool. And they were calling around trying to get Brother Branham. And they didn't get Brother Branham. But they got Brother Jesus. And they prayed and got that boy back on his feet, healed again. He resurrected him. And Brother Branham said, it's good to know God. Because sometimes you can't get hold of the prophet. You have to know him for yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and that third step, that third pull, that last step when you cross over that last river into the promised land, that's where we want it to be. And that's where we're at tonight. That's where the bride is.
Yeah.
The bride is back in the land. We're not wondering what this is now.
No.
We're not wondering what it is. We're not trying to figure it out. Well, what did the prophet? We know.
Yeah.
what he brought. And he said, what are you going to do? And I quote this a lot because I think we need to really think about it. What are you going to do when you get a group of people together who knows what it can look all the way back, who knows what it is? When that group of people know what it is, and I believe that's us. I believe that's the bride. She knows what it is now. We're not like we were back in 1970, 1965, when Brother Branham would look across the congregation and say, I know that they're not getting it. I don't see it like I should. I know they're not getting it. Well, we got it now. Amen. We know what it is. We know what it is. And he said, what are you going to do when you get that group of people together? Then the rapture can go. Not come, go. We can go. Amen. That's where we're at, church. So we love the word. I love Brother Ron the way he brings it. I love that. And come back. I tell all the other brothers, come back anytime you want. And the other brothers are coming and saying, well, they act like this every service. We do. We love the word. Amen. So it's good to have you here. Amen. Do come back. I'm ready. I told him, I said, Brother Eric, if you don't hurry up, you're going to burn that food. He's been cooking. He's cooking. He said, I got it cooking in 2 weeks. Okay. It'll be done in 2 weeks. So, so it's good to have you. Let's stand. Let's stand. I enjoyed it. Amen. I appreciate you all coming.
Amen.
And I'm glad Brother Dallas is okay. Amen. And in Amen. One piece. Amen. Amen. You know, he took a tumble the other day, and I looked at him later on. I said, I'm glad you're okay. Amen. And because I wanted to be in the house of the Lord, so it's good to see him here. Come back.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Dallas, you know you're always welcome. Y'all always welcome. Come. I know, Dallas and Dallas. Yeah. Oh, you switch rows. Amen. I keep falling in love with him. Every service, every time the preacher gets up and that word comes forth, I can't help it. I feel like I'm more in love now than I was when I got here. And you know it's good because, you know, preachers get down too. Preachers go through things, and they go through things, and they carry a lot on them. But then they come to the house, and we all get that same shower. And we walk out of here in love all over again. And if I ever thought I loved him before I got here, now I'm like, man, Lord, I do love you. Amen. So come back. Amen. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over. As sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love over and over and over and over.